Good morning. We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to see you all, y'all here this morning for this worship service. I enjoyed the devotions this morning, especially because Glenn was talking about life, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. But enjoyed the Sunday school discussion also on the change of the covenants, the new covenant. Very important subject, and when we can spend a lot of time talking about and discussing and understanding better. Before I start the message, I'd like you to go with me to North Korea and think about their worship service this morning or late at night. Miss Kim, a secret believer, along with her family, worship in low tones. They sing very softly. They pray quietly. But they worship with Jesus, with the only brotherhood they know and can. Every day, Kim's father warns his children that someday he would pay for his Christianity and that the authorities would come and take him away. He promised them that he would be true. True to his faith, even if it meant death and torture. One day, not too long ago, that day came. They came and forcibly took Kim's father to a forced labor camp. And from that day to this, he has never returned. The family and the brotherhood there remember his promise to be faithful. One out of every eight Christians this morning is in persecution. It's hard for us to relate to that. Generations have lived in the United States without a lot of persecution. There was some back in World War I and so forth. But today, one out of every eight Christians in the world are under persecution, and North Korea is the most severe country in which persecution exists. To pray in North Korea, you are to pray to the emperor or the Kim family and thank them for their food, your food. In a 2021, just last year, Oxford University study, it was found that the church grows by numbers under persecution. It grows in numbers under persecution, but it languishes when it has state support. And that's from the Oxford University. I believe it to be true. So therefore, Europe and America, there is a decline in church attendance. There is a decline in church membership. In Asia and Africa, under severe persecution, there has been increasing church attendance. Isn't that something? One could talk all morning about incidents of persecution that are going on right now in 2022. Let's be thankful for our country and our church. And may we never lose that ability to cherish the brotherhood and the church, because one day it too will pass if the scriptures are true. And Jesus predicted that in the world ye shall have tribulation. So today, let's be thankful for what we have. I would like to go to John 15, a very familiar passage of scripture this morning, and would like to read the first 15 verses. The title of the message this morning is Signs of Holy Spirit Life in the Church. Signs of Holy Spirit Life in the Church. This passage, this text is loaded, and I'm sure I'm not going to be able to cover everything, the first 13 verses, but I want to look at the signs of the Holy Spirit life in the church. We must have life in the church. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus talking here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be full, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a powerful passage of scripture. So many principles that we should preach about and talk about. 13 verses is a lot of ammunition for a sermon. First of all, I'd like to look at the setting of this passage of scripture when Jesus was talking here. It was on Thursday of what we call Passion Week, just before Jesus died. It was just a day or two before he died. It was the week of crucifixion. Jesus was at the end of his life, and it was after even the Last Supper. He was preaching to his disciples late at night, probably walking down the road through Jerusalem. It was after the Last Supper, after Judas was exposed and as apostate. Judas was now an unbeliever. The disciples were aghast at that event of Judas leaving the group. Judas was in the inner circle. He was an apostle. He was a preacher. He was endowed with a gift to cast out demons. He was one that had preached with them and went around with them for 3 years. One who Jesus chose to carry the bag. The money bag. Judas was no doubt smart, gifted, and someone who seemed to be the ultimate disciple. The question on their minds was, who is really a disciple? Then if Judas was not a disciple and he was apostate, then really, really, who is a disciple of Jesus? The question is reverberated down through time until now. Jesus was here answering that very question. Who is genuine? Who is a genuine church member? Who is genuine? Jesus was informing the disciples in that late night conversation the proofs of who is really genuine. I'm looking at a group of people here this morning. And I don't think there's any atheists here this morning. I think I know most of you here. And I don't believe you're atheists. But there's probably two groups of people here this morning before me. Other than men and women, that's two groups. But in Jesus' group of close friends and intimate disciples, there were two groups. Judas was apostate. But he went around and he was still with them and he looked good. And I think he was just, you know, he was quite all right from his outward appearance. And I would like to ask the question to the group, and you answer it for me before we go into this message. Tell me the difference between a possessor and a professor. What is the difference between a possessor and a professor? I'd like to have an answer. Okay. You can talk about it when you're a professor. But when you're a possessor, you have possession of the house on Rinkenberger Road, right? You're possessed that house. And no matter who else says they own it, you're the one that owns it, professes that they own it. This morning, there's a very real danger of church life sliding into a group of professors rather than possessors. We understand what the difference is between a professor and a possessor. I almost titled the sermon in that question, but I would like to preach now from these words in John 15 about signs of Holy Spirit life in the church. We are not, our church cannot slide into just professing. We must have the signs of Holy Spirit life in this church. Those of us who grow plants are interested in how our plants can achieve health. I've been a farmer all my life, and I love to drive around this time of the year and look at the cornfields and the bean fields and the alfalfa fields and I can pretty well tell if all's well. And I think Levon is the same. He has a greenhouse, and he looks, and he sees what's going on there. He knows if there's a fungus. He knows if there's, you know, there's sickness in his greenhouse. We are interested this morning in metabolism that will produce healthy spiritual life and a vine that thrives and grows. Metabolism for living things takes nutrients and energy and chemicals from the soil for production. And through photosynthesis, it converts nutrients from the soil into growth and fruit production. If the right chemical isn't there, there will not be thrifty fruit or fruit production. We so often are failing and weak in our attempts to overcome the world. This morning, let's look at the text. I am the true vine, Jesus said. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide is a verb. It means action. It means to stay in place and continue there. Of course, Jesus is assuming that all the people he was talking to, that group of disciples who were concerned about who was really genuine, he was talking to a devout group, sincere group, one that had been impressed with Jesus, who had changed their hearts. And he said, I am the true vine, abide in me. Stay in place, continue there. Abide is a verb. It means action. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. Fruit production, dear ones, is a result of being connected to Jesus the vine. Jesus starts out this lesson of his disciples asserting his divine nature. He said, I am the vine. And if you Bible students will think about it, that I am is a very important term in Scripture. In John 4:26, I am the Messiah. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:23, I am from above. John 8:58, I am the eternal one. And so forth. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. Moses talked about that. And they said, Moses asked God, you know, who should I say that you're from? He said, tell them that I am that I am. You remember that back in Exodus. We don't want to talk a lot of time about this. He's the eternal presence of the Almighty God, and he was very clearly establishing his own divinity through the use of the verb am, not I will, not I was, but along with the word I am. I will be present forever. I will abide with you. Do you Christians realize that God dwells within you, your heart? That the eternal God, the I am God, the ever-present God, dwells in your heart. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing? That the God of heaven, who is forever, the I am forever, is dwelling within me. And I say, praise God. Hallelujah for that provision that he has made. And he tells us how we should live. He warns us of righteousness and what is it all? Truth and judgment to come. He tells us about that. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. We need. Our church must not just be a bunch of professors, but we need the possessors of the Holy Spirit sitting in our pews, taking part in our Sunday school, listening to the sermons, on and on. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Bear much fruit, he said. I want to talk about what that fruit might be. The second lesson is the Father is the farmer. God is the husbandman, verse 1. Fruit bearing is the result of good plant health. I am the vine, and the branch that bears fruit is healthy. More acts of love and obedience. Fourthly, purging is necessary for increased production. There's a barren branch, Judas branch, and the fruitful branch. There, we don't want to look at that in verse 2 after a little bit. Is purging is necessary for increased production. So Christians, look out. God is going to purge you. He guarantees he will purge you. And the purging is going to hurt. Fruit bearing in the Christian is the result of being attached to Jesus, the vine. Abide in me is a reality. It is living and obeying the word. Departure from abiding in him after purging results in spiritual withering. And there's a plan for that too. No fruit being produced, and it will need to be cut off and cast into the fire. There are two kinds of branches, one that bears fruit and one that bears new fruit and is withering. I believe that's in verse 2 and verse 6. There is a relationship with Jesus through abiding in his word and keeping the commandments in his love. I would like to go now to 6 points of how we can experience Holy Spirit life in our church. And I've talked about some of them already, most of them. I want to expand on that. Number one, ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Nutrient availability and uptake, metabolism is all about Jesus, about us taking up his word. Verse 3 says, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are healthy through the words that I have spoken unto you. We are part of the vine when we are into the word. It is the word that justifies and sanctifies us. I ask you bluntly and sincerely this morning, do you love the word of God? Think back of how many hours you spent reading the word of God this week. How many is it? Is it minutes or hours? Let's talk about personal Bible study. What seems to fit your devotional life? 15 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, devotional books. What fits your devotional life? Think about it. I'm not going to ask you publicly. But Jesus said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. It's very, very necessary for you to abide in the word of God. Jesus said one day when he's faced head to head with the devil, he told the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Folks, your spiritual life is dependent on the word of God. It's that simple. It's that simple. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you," every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth. David said, "I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart," even though the enemy hath forged a lie against me. My whole heart. Passionate about the word of God. "I will keep thy precepts. I will follow God's plan for my life." He says another place, "I will delight in thy law." In Psalm 1, that familiar passage of scripture, "You walk, you stand, you sit, and whatever you are doing, you are meditating upon God's law." His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? What about that? "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Are you fruit bearing? Are you fruit bearing? Are you bringing about your fruit in the right season? Listen today. The lack of exercise and lethargic Bible study shows up in church. Sunday school discussions are mum. Wednesday night discussions are too. Are you abiding in him? The average person spends nearly 3 hours a day on his phone. Do you come close with the scriptures? Who are you abiding in? The word or your phone? What is it? Answer the question in your mind. Timothy was instructed to exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise. What does exercise mean? It means get out and do it. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is in, which is to come. Do you want to be partakers of that promise? Oh, nutrient uptake, metabolism stops when we climb the fence of better knowledge and we explore the regions of sin. On our phone. Anyway. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Signs of Holy Spirit life in the church is, first of all, a personal devotion to God. Secondly, it's an appreciation for the brotherhood. Appreciation for the brotherhood. Peter says it bluntly. Love the brotherhood. Oh, yeah. It's easy for us to love some brothers. What about the brotherhood? What about the brotherhood? The brotherhood. Everybody included. Do you have brotherhood? That feeling of brotherliness, the fraternity of brethren? We are to love the brotherhood. How do we do it? Well, first of all, we need to know there's a difference between loving individuals and the common bond of love for the brotherhood. We as Christians will love to be redeemed, rejoined to a redeemed brotherhood in the house of God, worshiping our Redeemer. The spirit of worship is in a true Christian, and he loves to do it in brotherhood. One of the things I was impressed about in reading about the Christians in communist countries like North Korea, where it's illegal to be, or it's not allowed to be worship, not allowed to do practice worship, is that they go to church together. They want to go to church. They risk their lives to go to church. They have someone standing outside the building and warn the Christians to get out. You know, if someone comes, if the authority comes, scatter. They love to be at church. They worship with their brotherhood. I've noticed through the years that a particularly common experience in life love to talk together. People with a common, particularly common experience in love, they love to talk about together and share things in common. For instance, school teachers. I see school teachers love to talk together. And for sure, deer hunters. And for sure, farmers. And builders. Mothers. And stroke victims. And the list goes on and on. I had a stroke, and I know a number of people that had stroke. And we love to talk to each other about our stroke and our recovery and what we do and all that. You have a common bond here this morning, and that's that you've been redeemed by Jesus. Do you love to talk about it? Do you? We are part of an Anabaptist group, and the Anabaptist people, one of the hallmarks of Anabaptist people is that they love and have brotherhood. Love to be together as brothers. And love to meet each other's needs as brotherhood. They love to discuss the scriptures as brotherhood. In the brotherhood, with a common experience of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, that produces obedience to the word of God. It's those that desire to worship together, and they have the bond of brotherhood. The New Testament church is the body of the disciples of Christ. We are united by faith to him as Savior and Lord. We are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, sharing a fellowship of mutual love and brotherhood with one another and witnessing corporately for Christ in the world. The church is Christ's church, founded by him, and the brotherhood is responsible to him. It is through the mutual bond of brotherhood that we are connected to the vine and abide in him. The early Anabaptists rediscovered this principle of brotherhood. And they restored the concept of the early church nearly 1,200 years earlier of a voluntary and exclusive fellowship of truly converted believers in Christ, committed to follow him together in true obedience. The New Testament Anabaptist pattern is an exclusive group of believers who have passed the test of obedience to Christ by their fellow members of the brotherhood. Through that dependence and love for the brotherhood, we ask our fellow church members to help us prepare for his coming. Abide in him. And there could be a whole sermon preached on personal devotions and church attendance. But listen, dear ones, when a brotherhood concept is very dear to Anabaptist church life, the brotherhood in Anabaptist church life is common people, farmers, builders. They're common people when they take part in serving the Lord and witnessing and having topics and leading discussions. They're not professional podcasters, for sure. But there's something special about being with the brotherhood. Abide in him. Abide in him. Number two, signs of the Holy Spirit in life in the church. Live a life laid down for the brethren. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We are bonded together with people from all walks of life. In our brotherhood, varied abilities, some good at teaching, some not. Some can go deep in the Word, some just skim the surface. Some participate in Sunday school, some not. Some show up at church, and some not. Live a life laid down for the brotherhood. Paul and Peter both talk about this concept. And it's a word that we don't like to talk about in church, but it's very necessary to have a brotherhood, and it's the word submission. Submit means to be under. Our ideas are laid down, and the way we thought was the way forward is not followed. It's very careful. It's very important that we understand submission. And the humbleness that causes submission. We are a humble, broken people. We are bowed down. We are bowed down. We are bowed low. We laid down our life for the brethren. And that just means that means that we prefer others. We laid down a life for the brethren. Dear ones, the Protestant concept of the church was the individual and God. The Anabaptist concept of the church was first to enter a vertical relationship with Jesus and then into a horizontal relationship with like-minded brothers, entering into the covenant of church membership where we promised to follow each other in a similar pattern. It was into a church of order which the brotherhood determines. All that church of order, what the brotherhood determines, a pattern of life for its members. It controls the admission of new members, requiring evidence of first repentance, secondly new birth, and a holy life. Folks, we want to see evidence. We can't see the heart. And the only thing we can know for sure is the holy life part. Signs of the Holy Spirit life is a life laid down in submission to our brothers. Thirdly, we need to accept the purging of the shears of the husbandman. It says that in verse 2 and verse 6. The shears, the pruning of the husbandman. Every man that don't bear fruit or that does bear fruit, he is sheared. He is pruned. He is cut off with a knife. So the reason is that he brings forth more fruit. More obedience, by the way. Dear ones, Peter was pruned by Jesus. The knife is not some mystical knife that prunes us or shears or pruning shears. It's not some mystical knife from some unknown angel that God sends, but it's a real experience. And often it is done by real people applying biblical principle to my life through the Word of God. God has invested the brotherhood with the Holy Spirit judgment. I find it interesting in 1 Corinthians 5, when there was that awful sin, when a man had his father's wife, and Apostle Paul says, do it like this. Call the brotherhood together, and when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It was to be in the brotherhood setting that church discipline was carried out. There, that is, dear ones, that's a sign of the premium that Jesus puts on the brotherhood. Fourthly, allow the cutting off of the withered branches of spiritual junk food. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and was withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Life can't exist with some toxins, but if we are listening to a five hours of professional podcast in a week, and we come to listen to our half-hour topic by an untrained tradesman or a farmer, we will soon lose interest in our brotherhood connection to the vine. There's no doubt about it. A diet of Christian videos with unknown authors and unknown doctrine, with music of supposedly Christian, unknown singers that portray a style of worldliness, look out. Look out. It says in verse 6 that the branch that is withered needs to be cut off. Allow the cutting off of the withered branches of spiritual junk food. The average person will spend 2 hours and 54 minutes on their phones every day in 2022, or will spend a month and a half, 44 days on their phone, streaming the world into your life. The question, or the real question is do you abide in Jesus, the vine, or do you abide in your phone? The last point I have is we must believe in the authority of Scripture today. The authority of Scripture. Does God mean what he says? That's the simple question that we must ask each other. When he talks about loving your enemies, loving your brothers, does he mean what he says? Does he mean what he says when he talks in 1 Corinthians 11 about the headship failing? Does he really mean it? Is the authority of Scripture and the authority of the church, do we really believe in that? Because the Scripture mandates that. To abide is very continual. In the Word, the same Word that was practiced in 1920 and 1930 and 1940 and 1950 and 1980 and the year 2000 and 2020 and 2022. Those groups will be very similar that believe in the Word of God. They will have very similar practices. There has been no change in the Word for nearly 2,000 years. These words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If a man abide in me, not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If ye abide in me, my words abide in me, you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You want to have a strong prayer life? Then know that Jesus hears your prayers. Abide in him. Abide in the Word. God help us to be Holy Spirit-filled brothers who live their lives out in the brotherhood, in a Holy Spirit-filled church. God help us. Let's pray.